pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own Pride of Enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
The month of December can suck a bag of dicks, and not in a good way.
Right?
Indeed it can.
Absolutely.
So, Joss, you and I were at identical events in different places last night.
Right. I was going to say, if I had known you were there, I would have grabbed my Shaolin nun.
Yeah. I was at the... I was at the Nerd Store for their giveaway because God knows I've spent enough money on comics in the last 2 months to get that.
Right.
And you were at Dr. Volts.
I was.
Which is also owned by Charles Prowse. So it's all the same store and everything. My son, Angus, who goes to Dr. Volts because that's his closer comic book shop, was there.
Yeah. And
apparently won one of the grand prizes.
Yeah.
Three grand
prizes. The punk.
The lucky little shit.
Right?
He's always been super lucky with that kind of stuff. Like when he was a kid, some friends invited us to go to Lagoon for the day with them for their mom's company's annual Lagoon picnic, right?
Okay.
So my friend doesn't work for the company. I don't work for the company. It's my friend's mom who works for the company. And we all went, we all had a great day at Lagoon, but at, you know, when you go for the lunch thing, the picnic part, they would do a drawing. And we were all encouraged to put our names in. And I'm like, well, I never win these things anyway. Angus got his name drawn and won a bicycle.
Shut up.
A really nice mountain bike. Yeah.
Lucky shit.
Yeah. And then like another time in school or something, he won a boombox. It was like, you know, his sister's like, I knew you were going to win that, Angus, because she was with him last night. And he's like, no, I'm not lucky. She's like, oh, hell no, you are. She reminded him of the bicycle and the boombox.
Right.
He's like, okay. So it's like, yeah, of course. And do I get my name drawn? No, not at all. No.
Same. I didn't win anything. I thought for sure. I was like, for sure. I've spent so much money this year here. But no. You know who else won, though, and wasn't there to claim it? Our friend Robert Neal.
Oh, Robert was there?
Robert was not there to claim his prize, so he did not win, but he did, but he didn't. So
he did, but he didn't.
I got so excited I started clapping, and then I realized he wasn't there.
I recognized no names at the Nerd Store. You know, I'm like, I expected to see, what's her name? Winnegar. I've lost her first name. But yeah, I expect to see her, Comic Book Girl, as we know her. And I expected to see somebody else there, name pop up. But no, I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
But then my name didn't pop up. And I know I spend more money than either one of them do. So
I was going to say, I'll be honest, I didn't see your kids. I didn't even know they were there until they announced Angus's name. And then I was like, oh, I know that kid.
The crowd was huge at the Nerd Store. I managed to work my way through just to see if I recognized anybody. But right up the front, there's no way I could have seen anyone.
Yeah,
because they were pretty packed up there. And I'm like, I'm not going up that close. And there's a little cooling unit back here that's actually blue and cold air. I'm going to stand here.
Well, we were kind of up front at Dr. Volts, and they're doing, I don't even think we had quite started the drawings yet. Mm-hmm. And this group of about four people like walked in, looked around and went, oh, God, no. And turned around and left. I'm like, oh, you didn't even know what was going on. You just were trying to shop. I'm so sorry that was your takeaway.
We came to shop. What the hell, man? There's this crowd. I'm sure the Nerd Store had the same thing. It's like, God, there's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were people literally going through the trades and going through the the stacks, you know, to pull out back issues and stuff, and had handfuls of them to go purchase afterwards. But they were also there for the drawing. So the drawing. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So it was kind of fun. I'd never gone through, never sat through one of those before. I've either been doing something or had to go do a different event on the day they're doing a drawing, whether it was on Free Comic Book Day or if it's Free Comic Book Day. I've been there all fucking day already. I'm going home. You guys can do the drawing.
Right.
But yeah, it was just, yeah, that's, it was fun though. It was fun.
Yeah. We had a good time.
Yeah. So Mr. Bell.
Hey, what's up guys?
You've had a shitty week.
Yeah. Dad was forced to call himself an ambulance, because he thought he was about to die.
Oh boy!
And spent 4 days in the hospital before anybody in the family found out that's where he was.
Oh my gosh!
Of course.
Yeah, which leaves some questions I'm not going to record right now, but. That's I start off in a sad mood.
I currently know the situation and I've already formed some of those questions.
Yeah. So the question was, after 4 days in the hospital, it was one of the heart failures. I can't remember which word came first. Congenitive?
Congestive.
Anyway, and he was just out of it and didn't know who he was, where he was, anything like that. He was just in shit shape. And the VA was talking about putting him in hospice care. They got him over to this rehab facility. And we showed up, me, Tiffany, and two of my kids. One of my sisters was there, my uncle was there, and he just had people in the room with him for about four straight days. We ended up staying an extra day. We went down Tuesday and stayed and came back Friday afternoon because I got schoolwork and I've got work and I've got to get this shit done, and I can't do it on a laptop that is just not made for that. So I'm home for a few days. We've got family member trickling in throughout the Christmas week, and then we'll go back out for a few days the week after Christmas. So in between Christmas and New Year's. No, he's not doing great. It's just been a lot of worry. He's 90 years old. He's in terrible shape, you know, There's obviously he's well past his warranty. So we just push him through rehab and let him learn his exercises. And when he gets home, we just keep on him and keep on him and keep on him to keep doing them. If he wants to, if he doesn't, he doesn't. He's 90 years old. He's got nothing left to prove to anybody. You know, so if he doesn't want to do his exercises, more power to him. You know, what are you going to do?
Oh, but
can't threaten him. He only weighs 90 pounds.
Yeah.
Right?
My mother was the same way. Her one doctor had her on all these different things saying, don't eat this, don't eat that. And then she got to a new doctor and my niece was like, well, the doctor told her not to eat these things. And he says, she's 96 years old. She can have what she wants.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. If I make it to 90, I'm going to start smoking again.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's all.
Fuck it. If I make it to 80, I'm probably going to start smoking again. But
if I make it to 80, yeah, I'll probably pull out my pipe and start smoking again. Yeah.
In all the wrong places.
Yeah, exactly.
Chuck-a-rama, Golden Corral, all the places old people go, whatever they're called then. So yeah, it's been a shitty week. There's been a lot of tears. Leaving him alone in a hospital room on Friday was the hardest thing I have ever done, and that includes putting down dogs. I mean, it was just that level of just utter empty. I felt like the meanest fucking person in the world leaving. Now, on Facebook, I put a little postie up because people hadn't heard from me in a week, and I was starting to get questions. And so I put a little postie up about that. And right in the middle of the comment section, everybody's like, oh, sorry to hear that, dude. Sorry, buddy. I get lit. I get lit up brighter than the Chrysler building by my second child saying, manifest happiness, Dad.
Yep.
You got to let Grandpa know how much you loved him. You got to hang out with your children. You got to do all this cool, incredible stuff that a lot of people don't get, and you should be happy about that. It's more like, why don't you bite me, kid? Yeah.
Your second child who had to go through a forced reawakening recently and is now spewing it back to you. I love it.
Oh, dude, she is living it, and it is beautiful to watch. She just got her one-year chip.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
So proud of her. Yeah. So proud of her. And at the same time, I'm like, yeah, you're going to get an earful for the next little while.
Yeah, just got to remember. So, yeah, I'm having a shitty week. I've got no fucking idea how I'm going to handle all of this, either physically, emotionally, or financially, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Dad's got nothing. Right. I got nothing, so we can at least sit around and feel sorry for each other. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, rough week.
Has he done all of his stuff?
We could talk about that when we're not recording.
That's a good idea. Yep.
Totally fair.
Yeah, that was something I found out from our other friend, Mr. Easton, about his dad. And yeah, not a good time. Things you should not put off is what I learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, let's get off of this depressing topic and dive into the news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Gil Gerard, the fine gentleman who got to spend time with Aaron Gray filming Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, one of my favorite childhood shows, Beady Beady.
God, I loved that show when I was a kid.
Yep. Same. Has passed away at the age of 82. Mm-hmm. His death was confirmed by his wife, Janet, in a Facebook post early this morning. Gil, my soulmate, lost his fight with a rare and viciously aggressive form of cancer.
Oof.
From the moment we knew something was wrong to his death this morning, it was only days. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
No matter how many years I got to spend with him, it would never have been enough. Hold the ones you love tightly and love them fiercely. He released his own statement on Facebook about his death, asking his wife to share it after he died, saying, my life has been an amazing journey. The opportunities I've had, the people I've met, and the love I've given and received have made my 82 years on the planet deeply satisfying. My journey has taken me from Arkansas to New York to L.A. and finally to my home in North Georgia with my amazing wife, Janet, of 18 years. It's been a great ride, but inevitably one that comes as close as mine has. Don't waste your time on anything that doesn't thrill you or bring you love. See you out somewhere in the cosmos.
Aw. I like it.
That's a show I'd like to see rebooted.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think there was a problem with it, though. Like, Gil Gerard was fighting about something on it recently. I don't remember what it was, but I think there was a problem with trying to even get it out again. I mean, it was in syndication for years, but I don't know if it's got streaming rights or not. And it could definitely use, like, the original series could definitely use a remaster. I mean, God, we've lost so many of them now. You know, I think Aaron Gray's about the original cast member still kicking around.
Yep.
So, probably.
Yep.
Let's see. It's on Tubi.
Okay.
And you can buy it physically on Amazon.
So it is available.
Yeah.
It could just use a remaster is what it could use.
Yeah, so, you can purchase both seasons also from Amazon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, season one is the... So he did a movie. They did a movie. And the movie was successful enough that they did a first season, which was basically just taking the movie and just continuing it. And then season two was, let's make it Star Trek. And honestly, it was better.
Ooh, than Star Trek?
Not better than Star Trek, but better. Oh. It was the second season was better than the first because it had more. It well, at least for Star Trek fans, it was like, well, this is better. I like this a little better, I think. But yeah, but no, it was not better than Star Trek.
Okay, good to know. I was worried for a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, the robots in Star Trek actually speak, as opposed mm-hmm. to beady beady beady. Come on, Buck. I'm looking it up on Amazon. I'm trying to get a price point on this. So you can get the DVD for $22, the Blu-ray for $91.
Oh, they only printed so many.
Yeah. But I'm looking for where you can buy it.
So the Blu-ray's out of print,
streaming.
Folks. Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing. Okay. I can't find it streaming.
Right. Yep.
Ah.
So they may have been incorrect, but I'd blow $22 on the on a DVD.
Well, if it was on Tubi, it'll be back.
Yeah.
Tubi trades through stuff like Netflix and everybody else does. Shows come and go because they gotta have room on the servers for everything. So yeah.
Right.
All right. So we found out within minutes of being done recording last week that Rob Reiner had died. Then we found out he'd been murdered, and now we found out that allegedly, it was his kid that did the murdering.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, what a roller coaster that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was all just like really compressed. It felt like you just within hours, we found out that he was gone and then that he was murdered and then that his kid probably did it right. Boom, boom, boom. Right in a row.
Yeah.
Right.
His kid was arrested. Everything. Yeah. It was like, oh, well, okay. Here we are.
This is a huge loss.
Mm-hmm.
He just, I believe, directed This is Spinal Tap 2.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still working.
Yeah.
I have to see that. I was going to make Tiffany watch Spinal Tap first.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They're both on, if you have HBO Max, they're both on there now. Both Spinal Tap and This is Spinal Tap and This is Spinal Tap 2 are both on there.
Oh, good. So,
yeah, it's weird. It was like the same thing because I looked for Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago, and couldn't find it anywhere other than for sale. And it reminds me of when Robert Redford died, almost none of his shit was streaming, and now it's everywhere.
Now you can find all of his movies, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been
it takes a minute for them to go, oh shit, we need to put that out there because people are going to want to watch it, and then it takes more time than we think it takes, you know. To just pull the stuff out because you have to secure the streaming rights again. You're going to be paying somebody to air it, that sort of thing. So yeah, they have to do all that work, all the legal work and stuff. But they know that it'll be tuned into, so they're going to make money no matter what. So they just do it, even though they got to pay the whoever owns it as well. This kid had a lot of drug problems and. I guess something had happened and Rob and his wife were looking to put him into conservatorship with them in charge of it, which he didn't like. And he was causing a problem at a party they all went to.
Conan O'Brien's Christmas party.
Yeah. Right. Conan O'Brien's Christmas. He was causing problems there and Rob got in a fight with him. And then that was the final straw for that kid. So, yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks. Mental health issues are no fucking joke.
Yep.
Yep.
Continuing sad things. Point Break will be returning as a TV series at AMC.
Point Break, the TV show.
I hope it's better. And I say this as somebody who liked it. I hope it's better than the Lethal Weapon TV series.
Fair.
And I liked the Lethal Weapon TV series, but I also knew that it was awful.
I curious what this show will be like, because Point Break really was kind of a his assignment to masquerade as a surfer, get in with these surfer guys that they suspect that he had, that Nick Nolte's character suspected were committing these bank robberies as the ex-presidents.
They're robbing the banks.
And then they catch the guys, but the main guy gets away, Bodie. And so he chases him basically around the world. And I'm like, you could do one of those where for the first couple of seasons, it's them kind of breaking it down, figuring out who the ex-presidents are. And then, boom, it gets all revealed. And then they do then it's him chasing him across around the world. That would be interesting if you've got the budget for it. But I'm like, otherwise, what's this series going to be? Because, you know, without Bodie, what do you got?
Baywatch.
Yeah, Baywatch, you know.
Okay, season one, he chases Bodie, catches him at the end. Season two,
saves him.
They black hat it.
There you go.
So he comes in, and now he works for the FBI, catching other bad surfers. Whoa, radical dude. Whoa.
Mind
blows
blown.
My mind.
Yeah. Anyway, it's probably going to be awful.
Yep.
I only say that due to a vast experience at things like this being awful. It could be good. If it's good the way Lethal Weapon was good, I'll probably watch it for a little while, you know. But Lethal Weapon was good, but bad enough that by the end of season two, I checked out. Mm-hmm. To the point that I'm trying to remember now if they even had a season two. So
I mean, fair.
Yeah. The Oscars is fixing a problem for people that want to watch it and taking itself off of television and putting itself onto YouTube as a live stream starting, I believe, in 2029. The 101st Oscar ceremony will be streamed on YouTube.
Wow.
I mean, this just blows my mind in a good way, because it's like we've needed this to happen more and more, you know. Get it out, get it streaming on something that anyone can access it, do a live stream so that they don't. And then the other problem with ABC is they wanted commercial breaks. They wanted to constrict it to time. You know, they bitched if it went over certain, you know, so many minutes, because it was preempting all their other shows. And it's like, throw it up on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, it's the Academy signed a multi-year deal that'll give YouTube the exclusive global rights. The ABC deal was restricted internationally because different platforms had different rights for the event all around the world. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in 2029, boop, right there on the YouTube, anybody can watch it. Hopefully they handle it better than that idiot boxing match I watched on Netflix.
Yeah.
I think YouTube's got the bandwidth, though. I think they've got it.
Probably.
I've watched several streaming things exclusively on YouTube and enjoyed them much more so than if I'd watched them on network. The Democratic National Convention, for example. The last one with Kamala Harris as the nominee. I watched that on YouTube. It was so much more entertaining than having the talking heads from whatever network having to earn their money by speculating the whole fucking time and interrupting the beginning and end of speeches, you know?
Right.
It's like, it was so much more entertaining on YouTube. Yeah.
James Gunn has confirmed that Lars Eidinger, I'm not kidding, is going to be cast as Brainiac in the next Superman movie, Man of Tomorrow. I don't know this dude, but
I don't know that name.
I know that James Gunn is fucking masterful at casting, and I'm not worried about it at all.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this. I don't know who this dude is. I'm scrolling through it, and
Lars Eidinger.
He's a gifted performer whose career has spanned several productions across stage and screen. A majority of his credits are German films.
Mm-hmm.
and TV shows, but he's also lent his talent to American projects like Tim Burton's Dumbo remake and multiple Noah Baumbach films. Regardless of which country he's working in, Eidinger has demonstrated impeccable range. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be fucking great. You know,
I think, yeah. if you want to see who he is, there's that new, George Clooney movie, Jay Kelly.
So good.
I think it's on Netflix and he's in that apparently. So
I'm going to have to remember who the fuck he was in that, because I just watched that movie week before last. It's very good, by the way. I forgot to throw it on my roundup, but we watched it and I came out of the other end profoundly sad. Because that's exactly what they wanted, and it worked. So, if you want to feel like your life has been a waste of fucking time chasing something that isn't real, Jay Kelly, that's a movie for you, folks. And apparently the German feller's in it. It is the 40th anniversary of Brazil.
Oh.
Brazil.
Oh my God, what a movie.
Brilliant, weird, goofy, strange, eclectic movie. I don't even know how to sum it up without ruining it. But it's been 40 years since Terry Gilliam put this one together, and it is absolutely worth your time to this day. I just watched it about 2 years ago, and for the life of me, can't remember why. I think Tiffany was out of town, because Brazil, you got to work your way into movies like this with the younger folks.
Yeah, you don't. I remember watching it because it was like, oh, from Terry Gilliam, who directed Monty Python's Meaning of Life, and I was like, oh, this should be interesting, and it has Michael Palin in it. I was like, oh, okay, so this will be like my No, this is nothing like Monty Python. This is one of the most crazy, interesting films you've ever seen. I remember we watched it in a master's level film course, and we were all still trying to puzzle out its meaning. So here were a bunch of film students, including master's degree seeking film students, who were all like, yeah, I'm not sure exactly all the meaning behind it that Gilliam was trying to put in there. We're all trying to figure it out still. So it's a movie that almost defies an analysis. And that's what makes it so beautiful in a way. It's like, I think it can mean something different to everyone. In the end, it tends to be about excess and excessive capitalism, excessive everything, like his mother's obsession with plastic surgery, all this different stuff. It's just so crazy. But at the same time, it feels like there's no feeling in it. And that's kind of the point.
Yeah. <know? laughs> Yeah. Well.
Bizarre. I love that movie.
Yeah, me too. Regardless, that is it for the news.
Oh, and 39 years ago. Yesterday, as of today's day of recording, Saturday Night Live had William Shatner as their guest, and he told all of us Trekkies to get a life.
That has been a minute.
Yeah.
Aw, that's nice of him to disparage the people who.
Yeah, well, it was funny because that was kind of his opinion of Trekkies at that point in his career, because he really wanted to move on, even though he was making Star Trek movies. And then as he continued to make Star Trek movies and nobody was offering him anything but Captain Kirk, his whole mind, I think it was Arsenio Hall who changed his mind. He and Leonard Nimoy went on Arsenio Hall, and he's like, yeah, there's all this stuff, and I just don't know what it means. And Arsenio says, it means big houses for you and your families. That's what it means. I was like,
it means a big fat paycheck.
Wow. Yeah. And after that, his opinion quickly changed. So, yeah, that was my favorite bit. Anyway, we're gonna take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
Tell me you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger.
I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does, including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com, D-E-F-E-N media.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Well, I started getting books out this week. I put out a thing to everyone in Utah to give me a time that maybe they could meet me at the nerd store. Or if they wanted to arrange something else, to reach out to me. One person did the survey.
Sorry.
And I mean, because one of the answers, the other answer of the survey, the first two answers, the first answer of the survey is your name. And then the next one is, do you want to pick it up or have me ship it? You could have just done that, and then I'd know, okay, I'm shipping it. I don't have to sit there in limbo wondering if you're going to email me or respond at any point. And, yeah, nobody responded. So I did have two people who reached out to me via email. Our friend Rhiannon was one of them. Had to meet her over at the planetarium. And then another friend of mine said, well, I'm going to be delivering the calendar I give you every year to your house, so why don't I come by on Friday? I'm like, okay, that works. And then while I was at the planetarium, I get a phone call from my friend Ryan. Hey, we're gonna be up there. We want to pick up our books. I'm like, okay, I'll be home at. And I looked at the clock and looked at when Rhiannon said she'd be there. I'm like, I'll be home at 4:15. It's like, okay, we'll meet you there. And that was it. So I've gotten rid of a few of the books. I'll be ordering t-shirts this week. For anybody who ordered a t-shirt, that's going to be a bigger delay because I hadn't ordered the t-shirts yet. I know. I could have done it at any time, but I couldn't have done it at any time because I didn't have the money for it. So I'll have the money for it barely because of that fictitious thing that my company does that I didn't believe existed anymore, but now it's happening. So, I'll be ordering t-shirts this week. And also start shipping to anyone who's out of state, just to let anybody in state reach out and say, hey, we can meet up here, or I'm going to be in the city on this date or whatever. So I was doing the nerd store because it was quick. And I was like, between now and Monday, I'm like, the nerd store is about all I've got. So then after that, I'm pretty much after Christmas, I could pretty much get anywhere to meet people except up to Ogden. So. I just don't go up there.
Why? Ogden's delightful.
Yeah, you know, the last time I was in Ogden, I had long hair. I had hair then. And long hair, and I was dressed like I dressed in Salt Lake City. And I was with this booking agency, and we'd booked a band into this bar. And they wanted us, they didn't feel like they were getting any love, so they wanted us to come see them. So we made the trip up to Ogden. We were also going up to Hill Air Force Base to talk about booking acts at Hill Air Force Base. After we finished Hill Air Force Base, we went up to the bar. And we're standing there. We go into the bar, and I walk up to the bar. And it was a biker bar, which apparently was about every single bar on that street. And so I walked up to the bar to get a beer, and the bartender's like, yeah. And I said, you got anything imported? He looked at me and said, just you. I'm like, you know what? I don't need to come back to this town. I really am not in a good place here. I feel like I just went into Southie or something. I'm going to stay out for now. everything's going out. We're looking forward to it. And then hopefully issue 2 is getting worked on right now. I haven't heard back from anybody, but then that's pretty much commonplace. I don't have regular check-ins unless I force it. So it's like working with my kids. Unless I force it, they don't talk to me. Right. I'll keep you up to date on what's happening with Shell and Nunn. In the meantime, let's do some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Green Arrow has been canceled by DC Comics due to unsustainable sales numbers.
Yep.
I will admit, for me, with every other title over the last 7 months, I haven't picked it up, but Chris Condon's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've been reading it faithfully since issue 1. Now, on the one hand, I look at this as, well, I got 26 more issues than I was supposed to have gotten, because if you remember, it was a 6-issue limited series. But the author said, I'd love to do more. And I was telling people on this podcast, go in, order them, get them ordered now from your comic book shop so that it will encourage them to continue it. Because we've seen this happen a lot lately, is they'll put out a 6-issue series and it just keeps going. Batgirl just had that happen, or it just keeps going. So it's like, get out there and put your orders in. But here's the thing, guys. What killed it wasn't the fact that people weren't buying it. What killed it was people weren't ordering it, because that's how it works now. We don't have newsstands like we used to, where you could just go pick up comic books and then they relied on newsstand sales numbers. We don't have the way they used to do it with comic book shops, where comic book shops would order 10, 15, 20 issues of a single comic
just in case,
over and above what was ordered for the holds, hoping that they would sell them, because they're not worth anything if they can't sell them.
Right.
So they only order what they've been told to order, plus a few extra. So if you were counting on going in and picking up Green Arrow just at your local comic book shop, that's what caused the problem. You have to do these orders. This is why we do Pick of the Future. You have to do these orders early so that the comic book shops order them and the comics keep going.
Because it's been...
But I got 26... I got 26 more issues of Green Arrow than I expected, so...
Yeah. It is critically acclaimed. It is well-reviewed. People that read it love it. It's it's great. You've got to order it. Get it in your holds. I mean, too late for this one, but on other stuff that you like. You know, I don't understand guys that gamble on titles and don't have holds. And I knew so many of them when I was at Volts. They're just like, no, I don't want to hold. And then they come in and there's not a comic for them. And they're like, why is there no comics? And it's like, dude, get a fucking hold. Just get a hold. All we do is set it aside for you to buy so that you have a copy. Yep. It doesn't cost you anything. And a lot of comic book shops, not any I've worked at, but a lot of comic book shops will actually give you a discount, you know, for opening a hold. So, you know, stop being so fucking precious. Just because you bought it like that in the 70s doesn't mean that's how it works now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
The spinner rack, the newsstand, the comic book shop just ordering hundreds and hundreds of issues. They take those chances on ones they know are going to sell well. But in the end, they still wind up losing money on that, you know.
Well, even that on special event books, like... Like, I know we underordered Absolute Batman.
Yeah.
Mostly because Charles couldn't believe anybody gave a shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? It's just Batman. He's just bigger. It's just Batman. Right. He's just bigger. And which, I mean, he's not wrong, but
it's not, but at the same time, Batman sells. Right. So, yeah.
No, and he ordered a shitload of books. He just didn't order enough of a shitload.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just what it came down to. So, and then you go and you order extra issues of something like Martian Manhunter, even though we all love the Martian Manhunter, the majority of the planet doesn't give a shit.
Yep, you know, didn't care.
So, I mean, that's just what it is.
That's the best Absolute book right now. But no, it was, and that includes Absolute Wonder Woman. That's the best Absolute book they have. At least for me, that's the one that actually speaks to me because it's so psychedelic and weird. But no, it's a problem. It's a problem across the board because the other side of it is that the publisher, they only print what they've been told to print, and that's what was ordered. And so if they have to do new printing, you got to send it back. They have to set up everything again. It costs them money. It costs more money to print than they're going to make off of it. It's almost a waste of their time, but they stopped pushing out all the issues they used to push out in the 90s because it wasn't making them any money. And they stopped doing newsstands because they were losing money on having to give money back after they did the cover tears to send them back, you know?
Right.
So it's like they'll drop venues faster than anything. But yeah, it's like and the other side of it is the free site. If you go on the place where you can read comics for free, that's the other thing that will take it away from you.
Right.
You know, if you want to read a comic book for free that's like 20 years old, the free site's great for that. But new releases, you're just stealing from these creators, because in the end they'll lose their job and they won't have. I mean, he's going to keep working, obviously. He's that talented, but as a writer, but it's just it's very frustrating. And I really enjoyed Green Arrow. I've been enjoying Green Arrow. It was like one of those where I've been going through going, okay, what am I going to keep really from DC right now? Mm-hmm. And I was literally down to, because of everything that was getting canceled on me, I was down to Nightwing and Green Arrow. And I'm like, okay, I guess Nightwing. It's the one I'll keep reading after Absolute Martian Manhunter runs its course. Yeah.
Right.
All right. James Tynion IV has had to option his own comic, The Woods, for an animated treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yep.
Why would he have to do that?
Well, this is the difference between creator-owned comic book series and a creator-participant one. Mm-hmm. And what it means when it's not obvious, the news is out that James Tynion IV and Michael DeLannis, The Woods, is going to be an adult animated series, and the James Tynion's company, Tiny Onion, did the option of the series from Boom Studios, which mm-hmm. left some people going, wait a minute, I thought he owned The Woods. Why is he having to option it from Boom? Well, Boom Studios owns half of it. So yep. Tynion wants to animate his own comic. He has to buy the rights mm-hmm. back from Boom Studios.
I actually used a Boom Studios contract to figure out the contract I gave my publisher, because I was like, okay, how are they doing it? And as I read it, I'm like, oh, wow. If you go through Boom, you lose half of everything because they're taking 50% no matter what. And that includes your right to have it made in other media, you know. To have it optioned into other media. And so it was like, oh, okay. So the deal I have with Laguna is we're doing 50-50 on publishing because they're obviously having to print the damn book. They might as well get some money back.
Right.
And then we're doing an 80-20, but I'm the one in charge of handling all of the optioning for any media beyond that, if such a thing were to happen to me, which would be wonderful, and I'm not holding my breath at the moment, so my luck is always I always get there after it's over. you know, it's like, ooh, I got to make that happen. And I've been pushing it to make it happen. And it'll be finally ready. And Hollywood will be like, yeah, we're not going to look at comic books anymore as a medium. That's what's going to fucking happen to me. I know it. So,
hey, dude, manifest gratitude.
I have so much gratitude to everyone who has supported this book, backed this book, reads this book, loves this book. I have so much gratitude, and the rest of the world doesn't exactly, you know, jump in line for me. I don't have my kid's luck. He got the luck. I got the shaft. So yeah.
That's what she said. Yes. That's it for comic book news.
Well, what have you guys been reading this week? We'll start with Joss.
I didn't read anything this week. It's been it's the holiday season. I don't get a lot of free time right now. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeff? What have you been reading?
Medical forms.
Those are always exciting. Do you need help with those?
Probably. I don't have access to them now. And we had a very nice doctor that explained shit to me like I was an idiot, which is perfect.
That's exactly what you need.
Yep.
Yep.
Like them five.
Yeah, if you want to get into a nice treatise about the fucking Oxford comma, I'm your guy. You want to talk about doctor shit, I'm really going to need you to please put it in veterinary terms. Could you?
Yeah.
So, because yep. I understand dog problems. I don't know how people work.
That's fair.
So yeah, that's all I really got to this week. We have a book on an audio book. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I'm old. That we started when we left on our honeymoon a year and a month ago.
Oh,
the problem is we don't go anywhere, and we only listen to it when we road trip, and we've only road tripped like 3 or 4 times for 4 or 5 hours, and it's a 25-hour book.
Oh, wow.
So we were going to try and listen to it on the way down, but I had my kids in the car, and it's wildly inappropriate. And I don't care how old my kids are. They're not listening to this with me. So we were going to listen to it on the way
this
back.
This is not something we share.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tiffany fell asleep instead, and so I just listened to podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I almost read through my ears, but I didn't quite make it. So what about you, buddy? What'd you get read this week?
Let's see. We have the issue number 18 of Zdarsky Comic News, the final issue. Zdarsky Comic News. Well, you know, can't blame him. It's a lot of work. I mean, he does the art. He does a lot of the artwork and graphic design in this. He has to write it all. It's a lot of work. But it's not over, because he is going to work with a new group of people who are doing something called Comics the Magazine. And this is going to basically be Wizard coming back in a lot of ways. It's coming in March of 2026, so get it on your radar. Tell your local comic book shop you want it. Tell them now, or at least by the 1st of January. Sometime in January, tell your local shops you want it, because it's going to be, you know, again, they're not going to order it unless they're told to order it. They'll order a few copies, but there won't be many. And this will be something that people purchase. It won't be free like ZCN was. So, It's going to be a thing, but I know Zdarsky's getting involved with it somehow. A bunch of other people are involved, so it looks like a really good periodical for those who love comic books. And we haven't had one of those really for a while. There are a few, but not as many as we used to have. So get out there and get them, pick them up. Then we had Space Ghost number 6. Oh boy, you want to hook me, posts. Yeah, we got space vampires.
Ooh.
And Space Ghost gets himself bit. Yeah. And this is really cool because this issue is a one and done.
Oh, that's awesome.
it's like they show up. We're right in the middle of the whole thing. They explain, Jan and Jace explain it as we go. And then we get to the end and it's resolved. And I was like, wow. And this sets up for, because if the space vampire is in proximity to those he's bitten, they become vampires. And as soon as he is out of proximity, their curse goes away. So that means if this space vampire shows up, Space Ghost gets fangs again. That's all there is to it. I'm like, okay, I see how this goes. You're going to set up something big there. But yeah, I've been reading Space Ghost from Dynamite for a while now, and I just keep enjoying it. I just keep loving it every week, or every month. It's worth checking out. We had The Last Starship. This issue, Kirk is basically made the captain. Even though he was just, recently revived by Agnes Girardi and Queen Agnes, and he's alive, and he's got his memories, but at the same time he's like, why am I here? And then the Klingons attack, and the captain's like, we don't have anybody who can handle this. We need you in charge. And so Kirk was in charge of dealing with the Klingons, which was really interesting because this is in the burn, during the burn. I guess the Klingons must have got there by impulse power. Because when Kirk ordered them to warp back to their own system, that was when things went, they all blew up. Okay, I don't know. I'm having trouble following that part, but otherwise, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And then
maybe
finally,
there was a screaming Kelpian on board.
Maybe there was. Finally, Batman's Second Night, number 2. Landed another beautifully drawn, beautifully illustrated book because it's painted. As you recall, this one had Lois Lane coming to Gotham for a movie premiere, only to have that movie premiere attacked by the executioner, and Batman gets into a fight. But this issue, guess who followed Lois Lane to Gotham? Guess who makes his appearance?
Jimmy Olsen.
Nope.
Man.
Brainiac.
That's right. This is the first appearance of this. This takes place in 1941. So this is 1941 Superman. They draw him the way, with the costume, the black S and everything on his chest and everything. So yeah, it was fun. It's like, it'll be the first Batman Superman team up for this. And they're fighting the Scarecrow and his fear gas. And what's cool about the fear gas is they go back to World War I and talk about World War I. Like Jim Gordon talks about how he was ready to just die because his leg got shot up. And then the Germans dropped mustard gas into the trench he was in and he was ready to die. And the medic came, pulled him out of there. Went and put his gas mask on Gordon, then found a dead guy, pulled his, with a working gas mask off, pulled it off him, put that on himself, held his breath the whole time. That young medic was Thomas Wayne. And so Jim Gordon has always felt this caring for Bruce. But at the same time, the Scarecrow was basically... He was tasked by the army to come up with other gases that would be effective on the battlefield, and that's where Crane developed his fear gas. But then the army was like, the Geneva Convention banned all gas, all chemical weapons, and so he was suddenly like, well, I guess they're like, you're fired, and of course he gets angry, and now he's turning it into a whole, I'm going to show them. With my fear gas. And this whole issue just goes into World War II and the gassing and everything. I was like, Flanders Field, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, holy shit, this is really good. This is a lot deeper than it ever was in the Golden Age comics. And I love that. So yeah, well done on the Batman Second Night.
That's awesome.
But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
Okay, Joss, start us out.
Okay, well, I'm already going to apologize because I hit send at the same time you did, and we picked the same Marvel book. But
that's all right.
I'm going to go with Marvel Winter Break Special number one, mostly because I didn't see anything else in mainstream that made me go, ooh, I need that. it's like the swimsuit edition, but in the yep. wintertime with hot tubs and hot springs and hot yoga and lots of places that start with hot. So, you know.
They'll go skiing. There'll be probably a little little two-page ski adventure for a character, and then they'll be at the hot tub.
Yeah, what fucking ski resorts are they going to this year? Because nothing's got any goddamn snow.
Obviously, Switzerland.
maybe they're in Vermont. I don't know.
Fuck Vermont. That's not skiing. That's candy ass bullshit. Those little itty bitty hills.
I mean, absolutely fair. But yeah, so that is my mainstream pick, is the Marvel Winter Break Special number one one-shot. So it's a fun mm-hmm. place. The one-shots are fun places to pick up and just for mm-hmm. shits and giggles. If you're not a huge comic reader, the one-shots are fun. So, yeah. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking mainstream?
Oh, well, for DC Comics, I'm picking up Green Arrow 31.
That's ironic.
Too little, too late, but the cover art's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then over on the Marvel side, I saw Alien versus Captain America, and that sounds dumb enough to be entertaining.
Doesn't it, though?
Yep.
It's true.
Yep. So that's it.
It just came out. It came out this last week, and this is like the second solicitation of it. So, because Marvel's like, no. You're going to like this. We're going to push this out for a second run just because we know people are going to, the comic book shops are going to be like, oh, fuck, we didn't order enough.
Hope so.
Yep.
Anyway, that's it for me. What do you got?
Oh, and that Green Arrow 31 is like Kelly Thompson got to do with Birds of Prey. It's sort of it's a send-off. So he gets to wrap it up nicely, which is good.
That's nice.
From Marvel Comics, we have The Will of Doom, number one. So Doom died in the One World Under Doom, as you recall. And then he sent his mask to Reed Richards, and inside was his will, his last will and testament. So this is Reed dealing with that. But there's a surprising new global menace they have to deal with. And the question is, will the White House have their backs? Will the Red Hulk have their backs? Because he spent the entire One World Under Doom just trying to get to Doom to kill him. That was all the Red Hulk did. So, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun and a good wrap up for One World Under Doom. And then from DC Comics, Absolute Martian Manhunter number 7. It's the return of the series. We ended with issue 6, took a couple months break while they put out a trade, and now we're getting issue 7. This crazy, mind-altering, awesome story by Dennis Camp and Javier Rodriguez is continuing, and I am excited for it. So, there we go. Independent-wise, we have from Massive Publishing, Do Not Disturb. It's a mystery thriller with a great supernatural twist set within an infamous hotel called the Argyle. And you have to say it that way because it's Scottish. The story follows private investigator Ransel Halsley, who's been hired to find a missing young woman, only to realize she and him have been murdered.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not letting death stand in the way of solving the mystery, Randall has to maneuver through both the human and supernatural worlds that lay within the walls of the Argyle, traveling through time itself to set things right. So he's dead and solving his own murder. I fucking love this. So Do Not Disturb. David Flores is writing it. Jared Hunter Rowe is doing, and Lorenzo Scaramella are doing the artwork. Fuck yeah. Let's do it. Massive Publishing.
Nice.
And then from IPI Comics, this just looked interesting. Loki Untangling a Tale is a graphic novel. What if you were born different, deformed, and shunned by your race? What if you could change that and become all that you ever hoped to be? All that would cost you was an oath to a god. Loki, the notorious trickster of Norse mythology and bonded brother to the god Odin. How did these sworn brothers turn to enemies? How did they break apart the nine worlds and initiate Ragnarok, the end of everything? Take a peek behind Loki's mask and its new dark fantasy retelling of Norse mythology and the notorious trickster. This is by Leanne Pearson.
I do like a little Norse mythology that doesn't have anything to do with Marvel or Neil Gaiman.
Well, you notice they hit it just right.
Yeah.
Because Loki is the bonded brother to Odin, not right. to Thor. In Norse mythology, Loki was a deformed frost giant because he was a small frost giant. And they didn't like that. So he went and took an oath to Odin and became the trickster god. So, yeah. So that I'm really excited for that one. So how about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks?
With Mad Cave, I'm going for a book called Far Down Below. As soon as the URL shortener will fucking reload the goddamn page. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Madman Volume 2. Madman Volume 2 coming out from, because this is the one that loaded Dark Horse. It's Dark 600 Horse. Pages.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
Drawn by legendary comics creator Michael Allred. Madman's debut series is presented in color for the ultimate surreal superhero reading experience in an affordable omnibus format. 600 plus pages, $50.
Wow.
Yep.
That's impressive.
And it's like, I've always wanted to read Madman, and I never have. So this would be a good way to get on. Mm-hmm. And then, Far Down Below, coming out from Mad Cave Studios, Journey to the Center of Eastern Pennsylvania. But it is the summer of 1983, and teen friends Jeff and Brian seek to escape from rainy day boredom by exploring Brian's abandoned and apparently haunted family home on the other side of town. And what they find instead is a secret that will unlock the doors to adventure and danger and on and on. So that's what I got for indies. What about you, Jocelyn?
I also looked at Far Down Below because it does sound intriguing, but I thought if you are a Dune fan, Dune House Atreides Deluxe Edition from Boom Studios is coming out. It is the official prequel to the groundbreaking Dune. And that's the entire, ad for it. So, but if you like Dune, you should pick this up. And I'm getting into Dune, so I'm going to pick it up. Take a look at it. I bet it's pretty.
It'll be very beautiful. All right.
That's all I got.
Well, today's Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
We just did those.
How about if into the TARDIS and go to the picks
of the
future?
Yeah, why don't we jump into the TARDIS and do our picks of the future? Thank you. All right, Joss, what are you looking forward to here in the future?
This is February, and you guys, Marvel Comics, Kelly Thompson, who I love, is combining two characters that I adore, because it's Jeff meets Daredevil, and I cannot wait for this. I am so excited. So Jeff, not to be confused with our Jeff, but Jeff the Land Shark, gets to take on the Hulk. He wins the lottery. He goes to the groomer. And you get to experience the chaos the way Daredevil himself would without a phone screen. Just sounds delightfully fun. How about you, our Jeff? What are you looking forward to in the future?
That's a really good question. Let me look. Me and the computer are just sort of doing doctor shit at the same time right now. So it keeps throwing me off.
Fair.
Dark Horse, Tomb Raider Colossal Collection. Volume 3, which has features the art of our friend Philip Seve.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the only Tomb Raider that I have read in my entire life was done by Phil, and will probably continue to be so, because I saw that this was the collection that had a bunch of his artwork in it, and I was like, this is it. This is what I want. So that's where I'm at. How about you?
From DC Comics, Vertigo is back. The Vertigo imprint has finally returned to DC Comics. They've pulled in Nice House by the Sea by James Tinney and the Fourth into Vertigo, which this happened when Vertigo started back in the late 80s, early 90s, when they pulled in Sandman and Hellblazer and Swamp Thing into Vertigo because they're like, you can be more adult now. So we've got three new ones that are launching. You've got Bleeding Hearts, number one. This one's about how the zombie apocalypse was won by the zombies. And it's been 10 years after the fall of humanity. They're the dominant form of life on Earth. They developed their own cultural practices, their own language, their own society. And Mouse pokes golf ball through hole in head, or poke for short. Is a beloved member of his community, and with his brother in arm, Mush, he's happy to shamble along through the only world he can remember until the day his heart mysteriously starts beating again. And in a blink, the first human he sees have stopped look humans he sees have stopped looking like food and started looking like friends.
Ooh.
So if you like the zombie stuff, this is reverse zombie, and it's kind of interesting looking. From Kyle Starks and Steve Pugh, we get End of Life. Professional hitman Eddie Stallion is messed up. He's accidentally robbed the Raven, a high-ranking boss of the International Cabal of Assassins in a menagerie, of which Eddie is a member, or he was. Now with the price on his head, Eddie chooses to hide in the one place everyone knows he'll never go, the small Midwestern town of Pluto, home of his estranged father and known as Hard-Ass George Stallion. Looking for a safe harbor, Eddie instead finds his resentful father dying of cancer, old friends looking to collect that bounty, menagerie assassins who have wandered into town, canceled newspaper comic strip creator turned local crime lord, and oh yeah, his childhood first love too. Yeah, this sounds fun. And then the one I'm super looking forward to is The Peril of the Brutal Dark, an Ezra Cain mystery by Chris Condon and noir master Jacob Phillips. So this is a full-on noir story. So End of Life and Peril of the Brutal Dark, both very noir. This one does take place, looks like, in the 40s, though. So true noir, and it looks great. And that is what I am looking forward to.
Nice.
I think that's it. Anything else this week, kids?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
All right, well, I invite everyone to join us at Patreon, patreon.com/dfenmedia, where every week we give you extra content. This week, we are hitting on the five villains. Let's see. Let me find this. I've got to find the thing.
Seven.
Oh, the seven best villains of the past 5 years from DC Comics. Seven best supervillains of the past 5 years from DC Comics. This is a list written by James Pacow at comicbook.com. So we'll see if we agree with it. And that is this week on Patreon, patreon.com/dfanmedia. And we'll have some additional information for Patreon members. So join us at patreon.com/dfanmedia. And until then, until next week, I will say, as I always do, until Spider-Man goes hot tubbing, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.